and welcome to the SML Show presented by OGO Power Sports and Yamaha Motors. Today I'm joined by a guest I'm very, very, very glad to see here in one piece, Austin Faulkner. Things were going amazing for you with the win at the first round, a convincing win.
Yeah.
And it all fell apart at round two. I know we've all heard the the details about it. The track was super challenging, and then as a fellow contact wearer myself, I know what it feels like to have one pop out.
Yeah.
So how bad is your vision without them? Like,
I don't know exactly like what the 2020 score is, but I know my contacts are this one's 1 point, negative 1.75, uh-huh. And this one's negative 2.5.
Which one popped out?
This one.
Okay,
the worst eye popped out, so the vision was worse of what it like. So I that definitely distorted. When it first happened, I was kind of panicked. I was this is gonna be hard to make work. But then after Deegan caught me, and then I kind of started to because I was still blitzing the whoops, but I couldn't see the edges. So once I started jumping through the whoops, which was a couple laps before I went down, I think I stretched it back out, and I was okay, I'm good. I can make this work. Time went by, and I was okay, yeah, I can make this work. So I don't know so much if it was my, vision that had anything to do with the crash or whatever. It didn't help. It could have been maybe, that's not why I came up short on the jump. Why I came up short is because the sand blew out, and I had to go outside, where I was taking the middle line, so I wasn't coming into that first little roller as fast, so I could kind of take more time to set up and really get that, where this, I went outside, so I came in faster, and I didn't brake and slow down and take as much time to set up into that roller, and I just kind of pushed through it and went, and I just pushed through it. I didn't get the pop. I just pushed through it. I just pushed through it too much and clipped it. But the only thing that could have been, I think, vision related in that was that I couldn't see as good that I was gonna clip it. I wasn't prepared for it maybe quite as much. I don't know, even if I was prepared for it, I don't who knows? I mean, maybe there was no saving it either way, but.
You know what though, that's, on the replay and stuff, when you hit it, it looked like you weren't braced for it. You're so relaxed, and that's why shit just blew up.
I didn't. It happened so quick that I don't know if I remember this, or if I just tell myself that I remember it from watching the crash. If I just put myself what was I thinking right here? But I don't think I remember it. But it happened so quick that my first recognition of I'm going down is looking at I'm over the concrete, and I'm oh no. That's what I think I remember. I think I remember that, but I'm not 100% sure if I remember it or if I just remember it because I watched the crash back, and then I kind of am okay, what was I thinking in this? It happened so quick that I don't, there was no time to even react. Maybe it could have, I just don't think I was prepared to case it. Like you said, I don't think I was prepared to clip it. And as soon as I did, if that was from my vision or if that's just because I didn't think I was going to clip it. I was also on that side. They made it more like sharp, because I don't know why they did it so you could go on off. But the second one was the next one was so big that no one did. I think Roxon was the only guy who did it all day. Yeah. And he only did it in the heat race.
Before the crash though, things were just going your way.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, I was watching it, and you passed Deegan in the same corner on the outside, right? But just coming into this year, right, you missed all last season because of the first straightaway thing. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been training extra hard because I'm friends with Charles Dow. But you were just dialed, right? Probably super confident, super healthy, and prepared to win races.
Yeah, I mean, our bike was so good too. The bike this year is really good. This is the best Supercross bike I've ever ridden. It's really good this year. Motor wise and suspension wise. Suspension wise, I think more so than motor, but we did figure out something that I wanted to change from last year. that we ended up doing this year. So the bike is sick too. But yeah, I just came in like the first race, everybody said I only won it because everybody went down in the first turn. So the second race, I like showed up, like I had a point to prove. And after the heat race too, like coming through and getting antsy, coming from like fourth or fifth, whatever I was in, getting antsy and Deegan. And then Deegan tried to throw it back in on me and I just, whatever, took it and just like dipped. That like felt really good. And that's what I was like, okay, like I want to win this main in a convincing like fashion. I want to do this like, and so honestly, what was going through my head after my contact fell out, like just like, I was like, dang, what would it be like to beat these guys with one eye? Like that would just get in there. Like that would, I just really wanted to just stamp it that I am the best guy on the 250 East. Like that's, I just wanted to stamp that. And, like I was the most consistent. I won heat race main at Detroit. I won heat race at Dallas, and I was 2 minutes from winning the heat race or from the main at Dallas as well. So, and every qualifying session, like I'm top three, like every one, I'm right there within hundredths of a second. At I think Detroit and Dallas was like within hundredths. Like I was the only guy that was there every single practice session, heat race, everything. And that's what I was like, I just want to stamp this, that like, I want to get a commanding win like that, like with pressure coming through the pack, getting those guys quick in the first couple turns. And then with pressure guys there, like the whole moto, like Deegan was never more than probably never more than 2 or 3 seconds back, like the whole race. So I wanted to do that and I was close, but that I just wanted to do that and stamp it. Cause I know that everybody was just saying, oh, well, Detroit, everybody went down. That's why it was so easy. That's why I won, whatever. So I wanted to stamp that. And it was damn close.
Did you make big gains? Like you said, you changed something on the bike. Did you make big gains during the West Coast series, like around that time of year? Because do you remember I came to the Cowie track and interviewed you out there? Like your rhythm and stuff that day was not what it was. At round one.
Yeah. I think it was still, I don't remember exactly when, it probably was about the beginning of East or of West. Cause I knew I was going East just cause I had a late start. I guess I didn't know, but I was relying that I was going East cause I wasn't in a huge hurry to test. I was like, hey, run the West guys through what they need to run through. Then come to me. I was like, honestly, I just want to get back on the bike. I just want to do work. I want to work more so with Rhino right now and work on things that we need to work on rather than bike setup. Right. Probably at the time I saw you was just like, let's work on this stuff, not focus on the bike right now. Let me just get my rhythm back and my flow and work with Rhino. And then, whenever we found that, I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was literally like, it was the easiest test I've done ever, like that made the biggest difference. It took 3 days. I tested the first day and I think we only had forks. They were too stiff. They were like too high in the front. They were stiff. Like the holdup was good. Parts of the characteristic of it I really liked, and I explained exactly what I wanted to change, which usually, even if you can tell them exactly what you want, it's still usually hard for the suspension guys to do exactly. Dude, I showed up the next week and exactly the change I wanted with the fork. It was the weirdest thing. Exactly the change I want. I hopped on the bike and the first rhythm section, I was like, these are gonna, I pushed on it just sitting on it. I was like, these are nice. Like these are sick. And I was like, yeah, this is it. And then we had like 2 more days of working with the shock, or like a day and a half maybe, of working on a shock. And then we ran that and I just got used to it. And that it was literally 3 days. And then in a motor test, we didn't do anything. We just threw the motor in, I rode it, and I think we maybe changed flywheel weights or something. And that was it. That was all we did. So it was really like about 3 days of testing and we didn't touch anything else the whole time. Like they had me try stuff here and there, but I was like, I don't need to. Like I can win on this bike. Like this bike is good. Yeah. So yeah, that was, it probably was before that then. Cause I kind of tested later And then just because I said I wasn't really interested in testing at that moment. And then once they got the West Coast boys settled, and sometimes they figure out more stuff after they go racing too. They're like, oh, we figured out this, let's do this. So I wasn't in a huge hurry to test, but testing was literally what usually takes 2 to 3 weeks to figure out, if not longer, was done in 3 days. And it was so effortless. I was like, okay, I like this part of the fork, but if we could change this, that'd be better. They did exactly what I was looking for. And then the shock, I like just kind of threw on, because the shock really wasn't the issue in the first place. So we threw another shock on that was a little stiffer, just a little bit different. Good. So
yeah, it was obvious that things were working good. So
yeah,
we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Back for more. Guys, welcome back to the SML show presented by OGO Power Sports and Yamaha Motors, here with Austin Faulkner. Okay, flash forward, the crash. You wake up in the hospital, or do you remember walking off the stadium floor? It was heartbreaking to watch.
Right? I watched it and I had kind of a breakdown whenever I watched that. Not really the walking off. That was the crash.
I don't remember the crash. Your body going through that.
I watched that. I didn't watch it. I didn't have my phone, or it wasn't on it the whole night after that at the hospital. I was like strapped down half the night. I didn't know what was going on still. The only thing I remember is people there came to visit. Tony came, obviously a bunch of my family was there, cause I was like, I'm from Missouri, and then spent time in Oklahoma, and that's Dallas is like 3 hours from Robbie's. So, my dad was there. He came in for a little bit. My mom came in for a little bit, Tony, and then Jay Robin, because I'm friends with him out here, he swung by too. So there were quite a bit of people, maybe more, but those are the ones I remember. So there's quite a bit of people there that came by. But I remember I got transferred to a room sometime that night, whatever, and then I got discharged the next morning. But
they let you go the next morning?
Yeah, because they said...
let's go through the laundry list of injuries here.
Yeah.
What concussion, first and foremost?
Concussion, I was out for like, I don't know exactly. They said between 3 to 5 minutes. I was out. I broke L3, L4 in my back, but the tabs on the spines, edges. Yeah. So it's the farthest point from the spinal cord. Yeah. So that's like the good news. If you're going to break your back, I broke basically the best case scenario thing you could break. I broke my shoulder blade.
It's like the little hair things on the tire.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. I broke my shoulder blade across the top and into my, shoulder, like right here, which is still where it hurts. That's really the only thing that still hurts, is my shoulder blade right in the backside of my shoulder still hurts. But and then I had bleeding or bruising or whatever on my lungs. And the only thing that they were slightly concerned about was my lungs with flying, because we were like, we want to get back.
Because
I was like, okay, like, can I get my back? What I broke wasn't gonna
get paralyzed
from walking or something like that. So I was like, okay, we're good to do that. If I can take the pain, which I've flown literally right after surgery before, like from surgery center straight to, so I can fly with some pain. And I was like, they gave me some pain pills too. So I was like, hey, let me take one. I'll go to sleep. I'll wake up. We'll be there. So did that. My back still did hurt flying and stuff, because it was still, but it wasn't that bad, and it was safe to fly. They said my lungs should be fine. I didn't have any trouble with them. So yeah, we flew back the next day. I don't know if that was entirely suggested, but that's what we
probably
did.
Better for your mental state.
Yeah, I needed to leave. That's just how I always am after injury. Like, especially if you stay in the hospital like overnight, you're like, dude, I want to get back, because you don't really like, I want to get back. I want to get in my house, and then I want to reassess there, because it's like, okay, now everything's calm, everything's quiet. I'm in a place where I'm comfortable. Okay, what? Mentally, physically, how do I actually feel like, and then just kind of go on from there. So I just wanted to get back as soon as possible.
Okay, the way you flew through the air and land on your back, the first thing I thought when I saw it happen was like, good Lord, I hope he's wearing like a chest protector. So I'm assuming you had, because Fox makes that great one.
Yeah.
Did you have the D3O on the back?
Yeah, the orange like thing that when you hit it, it gets hard. Yeah.
That's
crazy.
The best safety innovations.
Yeah.
in recent years, that D3 for sure. foam. But yeah, so thank God you're wearing that.
Yeah, for sure. That I was wearing a chest protector and Bell helmet, one of the best helmets. It broke all the way up the back. Wow. Which it did its job, and I mean, there was no way of getting around a concussion with how I landed, but it was still intact, the helmet. It just cracked the carbon all the way up mm-hmm. the back. Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting at earlier, was whenever I did get my phone, like right as we left the hospital, and I looked at that crash, I kind of had like a meltdown real quick, because I hadn't seen it, and I was thinking about, like, trying to think back on what I did. Somebody told me, for whatever reason, I don't remember a lot from, like, but I think on the ambulance ride, I asked somebody where I crashed. It's like, where did I crash? I probably asked that a lot of times, but for one I remember remembering one answer, and it was the first rhythm section. And it, when they said the first rhythm section, I knew exactly where they were. It was that where I crashed, because that yeah. was the, I mean, if you got that clean, it was just a triple double. It was easy. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that was just a kind of sketchy all day. So I figured it was there. And then after I watched it, I was like, I kind of had like a little breakdown at that moment, because I was just like, damn, like that was probably one of the scariest crashes I've ever had. And a lot of people tell me, like, not just people that like watch it, like people within the industry, like, you know, when I go see G or whatever, mm-hmm. or, and he's worked with all injuries, everybody. When I go see him, and he's like, dude, he's like, you have somebody watching over you, because that was one of the worst crashes I've seen in, like, I think he said that was the worst crash he'd seen since like Trey got landed on, or something like something that was also really like, so when you have people in the industry that have seen dirt bikes and seen crashes and seen injuries tell you that, like, you're lucky to be walking and you're lucky to, like, that's kind of heavy. Like, that's kind of like, that made me, and then just after seeing it too, like, I was like, man, I knew that immediately. Like, as soon as I watched it, I was like, damn, like, I'm lucky I can feel anything below the neck. Basically, I'm lucky I'm alive, basically. Yeah. Like, that could have been a lot. My injuries are really, really minor for what it could have been. So mm-hmm. that's, I do have somebody looking out for me, I guess, because that scared me, and I had a little breakdown, and I tried not to watch it, but all over my when I got on Instagram, when I got on anything, always the first thing that pops up was just replay, people talking about it. But I've seen it a couple times, and it was brutal. Yeah. So yeah, that was not fun to watch. And then, I mean, I guess it's not really, I don't know if it's better to hear people be like, you're really lucky, because I could have been worse. But then to me, like, I kind of, that's like, well, I was really lucky, really blessed, whatever, this time. It's like, then that makes you think, like, what about next time? Mm-hmm. What about, and it was, the crash was 2 inches. If you watch the slow-mo, I'm literally like 2 or 3 inches short on that jump. It's this much. Mm-hmm. But on Supercross track, that's all it takes sometimes. So it's, that wasn't that fun to watch, but it's tough, because it when you like right now, there's no reasonable way to go about thinking about like am I gonna ride again, that kind of goes through everybody's mind after you get mm-hmm. hurt in any sport, whatever. Oh, I'm over this, I don't even want to do it, whatever. But that's kind of the initial thought. But then after a couple weeks, you're like, I want to ride again, whatever. Yeah. But there's no really way to think about it, to just what I've noticed from like the past. There's no really way to think about it in like a logical way. You kind of just like have to turn your brain off, because whenever I've tried to think about it in like a logical way, like, okay, like I've had a lot of injuries. I mean, I can still do it. I know I can still win. I know that I can go back. Whenever I go back or show up next year and be exactly in the same position as this year, I know I can still win races. I know I still have a shot at the championship. It's like, man, like, I'm getting paid good. Like, I get paid good money, but at some point you got to say it's not like worth it anymore. Yeah. Like, that's not the money part is not the deciding factor, because like, I would pay anything. I would give any amount of money, any surgery to make me wake up and not feel the pain that I feel on a day-to-day basis. I would pay anything to have that. So the money is not like part of it. But it's just, you just got to turn your brain off because and not think about it. Basically, you just got to, like we were talking last night, or maybe it was when the race was on, me and Jerry Robin was over. We were just talking about crashes and like how you have like literal like PTSD from that. Like right now, just thinking about getting back on a supercross track, I don't know if I'm ready mentally quite yet because I still have flashbacks. Like I still have those flashbacks of like the wreck, seeing the wreck, and I still have those flashbacks, which they go away after a while, or maybe you just make them go away. You just choose not to think about it. Mm-hmm. But like those are still present in my mind. So it's kind of like I was just, the only thing to do is to just turn your brain off. You just have to not think about it. Because any logical way you go about thinking about this, any doctor, any average person, if I said, hey, the past like 5 years, I've had 17 surgeries, I've broken this, I've tore this, I had this many surgeries on this, and like any logical way of thinking about that is why you keep doing that. So it's like you kind of just have to turn it off and just be like, okay, I'm better now, so I guess let's go riding. Let's go ride. Like, and then in a couple weeks, maybe I can go race. Like, you just got to turn it off, because when you start thinking about it too much, it's like, man, like this is brutal.
It's heavy,
yeah. Yeah, and then too, like I just said, that the 2-inch thing. Like, is there ever? Am I never? You're saying I'm never going to come out 3 inches short on a jump ever again? No, it's going to happen. So it's like, you just got to whatever. Like, just kind of that's how you have to get over these injuries, especially maybe me anyway, coming from my past, that's how I have to kind of deal with some of these. It's like it never leaves. It never is like you get over it. Mm-hmm. You just shut it off. Just turn it off and just go forward. That's kind of the only thing really that I just, from what I've noticed through this injury, is that's kind of the only logical way to do it, is like just turn it off and just, I guess when I can ride again, try to go ride. Like I don't know. There's not really a logical way to think about it, is why do I keep doing this to myself? But, you know, so you just got to turn it off and just go.
Okay. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back for one more segment. Guys, welcome back to the SML Show, presented by OGO Power Sports and Yamaha Motors. During break, we were talking about your Instagram post you did afterwards and how heavy it was, but you seemed like, at the time, you were like, do I keep doing this? Why does this happen to me and everything? But you obviously talked about your faith, right? So you obviously had someone looking out for you. There's riders that get hurt more than others. Like, what do you feel your personal challenges are? Like, what? Like, you're super fast, but when you crash, you get fucked up. You know? Like,
yeah.
How come it's like that for some people and not for others?
I don't know. I don't know. Me and Rhino have talked about this. Talked about with Robbie. I mean, because Robbie's...
He was like that, too.
Exactly. Like, I mean, we're a lot alike. He's... like one of the only guys to like pass Ricky straight up. He still talks about 98 Unadilla Moto 1 because he came through the pack, passed Ricky and left. And he's like, no one does that to Ricky on an outdoor track. Like, nobody does that. And he did it, but then he just would always get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, even Rhino, kind of similar with Rhino too. Like, he always had speed. He always had heart. He always had the work ethic, but just always close, like something close, but just would get hurt or just things would happen. I don't know. I don't know why things happen like that. But another thing that I just kind of had to have a like talk with myself after too, is I thought about that one day. We were just driving, me and Riley, back from G's or something. And I was just like, I just asked her, why do you think that God does, like, is using me in some way to inspire or to show others that they can overcome certain things, and that maybe he's using me because I think that there's a Bible verse out there somewhere. I don't know exactly, but it says something like that, like God will never allow you to be tested beyond what you can put you through, things that you can't deal with. So like maybe he knows that I can take it. And so like, I mean, it's not ideal. I'm not saying that it's just, okay, take this.
Bring it on.
It's kind of what it seems like, but yeah. I'm not saying it's like that, but that's just, I mean, if I can handle it and I can be, there are certain guys that, another thing I've noticed is my fan base are super, super, I kind of compare it to like a mainstream rapper, the like people like, you hear him on the radio and stuff, to like a more underground rapper, maybe like an NF or like his fan base. You go to a concert like that, they know every word. They know every single word to every single song. They're super like because his music means something to people. Mm-hmm. Where I feel like my adversities, people can relate to in different things, different stages of their own life. And would I like to be the dude that I kind of should have been and have started winning, won that championship back in 2019 when I won all those races, followed it up in 2020, probably be on a 450 and probably hopefully be killing it at this point? Yeah, I would have loved to have done that. But then again, maybe I wouldn't have been making a difference in people's lives like this has. Mm-hmm. Because I know I had a kid come up to me after I did my knee last year and then came back super quick and did outdoors. And I had a kid come up to me at Paris. Or no, at at Paris. And he was like, man, I just want you to, I've had DMs and stuff, which that's still heavy too. This kid came up to me in person. I thought he was coming up for an autograph. He did and got pictures, but he was like, I thought he was just another, hey, can I have an autograph? He came up and was like, hey man, I just want you to know that like I broke my back earlier, like a little bit before you broke you did your knee. And I didn't plan on riding ever again. I didn't plan on riding again even for months after. But after I've seen your dedication through your rehab process and how you're doing it, and because I share my thoughts sometimes on Instagram or whatever, like just like my live videos and stuff about what I'm thinking sometimes, or I'll post something. And he was like, that has made a big difference in my personal life. And now I'm back out here riding today. I started riding 2 weeks ago because of you.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah. I was like, dude, it was like I was about to go do another 30. Wasn't in a super, like, I was kind of like, oh, it's hot. Like, it's one of those days that I was just like, ah. And then this dude comes up and I'm like, oh, I got to sign an autograph or whatever before I go do my, and I was like, not expecting that. Like, that took me, I was like, damn. Like, at that point was kind of a turning point, was like, okay, some people are going to find inspiration, are going to love the dude who's always winning. But there's a lot of other people that are going to love the dude who can come back and overcome adversities over and over and over, and they can relate to that guy maybe a little bit more than the dude who's always winning. And you know, just that can make more of a difference in those people's lives than, like, I've had, it's not like kids who I have 50-year-old people DM me. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I just want you to let you know, like, you like are an inspiration to me. And I'm like, dude, like, it's not just kids who are new to the sport. Oh, I like you because you're fast, because you can do crazy things on a dirt bike. Yeah. It's people, like, it's not just that. It's people who, older people who are like, you.
Do you read all your DMs?
I read quite a bit of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to go to my, whenever it happened, I had so many DMs like that came through. So I didn't read all of them, but I read a decent amount, and I try to read a decent amount of comments, but like on that video I posted, it blew up, so I didn't read all of them. But I do read some, and I try to respond to some. I have some screenshotted, like I read some and I screenshot them and just save them, because some days are better than others. Some days I get kind of low and I'm like, man, I just don't want to. some days I wake up, my body hurts more, and I'm just like, man, why do I don't want to do this. And then, so I save some certain like DMs or things from they people inspire, to, yeah. to read. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have, we had some kids that they got a hold of Riley because I they were like, we didn't think you would answer your DMs. So, and they sent me some, we've been getting a lot of fan mail, like fan, they sent me fan mail and we hung mm-hmm. it up on my fridge. It's just literally this kid's drawing of like, yeah. get well soon. It's me on a green bike. And then they sent her a video and it was this kid being like, you're my favorite rider. I hope you get better. Yeah, dude, it's just, that's different than, so I guess I wouldn't change anything. Things happen, but like I can say I wouldn't change anything because I can tell you now that from, seeing that happen to those kids or seeing that side of it, that is more special, or seeing people DM me and tell me that I did something that I did, you know, helped them, motivated them, or helped mm-hmm. them through the challenge they were facing that's not even related. They're a, like I said, 50-year-old mother of three and they live in wherever, but they found some sort of inspiration through mm-hmm. what I did. That is more special than any championship could be. Like that's why whenever that kid came up and told me that, like, I was completely caught off guard. Like, just, it made me feel so many different emotions because I was like, man, like, this is pretty special. Like, this is a special moment that, like, not a lot of people, like, people that are winning everything, they're not going to have an effect like this on people. Like, they're going to be an inspiration. Oh, you know, chase your dreams. You could win a lot of, you could do what you want. You could be successful. But they're not going to have the same inspiration as a guy that gets beat down over and over and over and over and still comes back. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have noticed, and that's what is a cool thing. And it's a different, it's a much different, because we're so trained to only like want championships or only want wins. That's the only sort of like, ah, yes, like that's success in mm-hmm. this sport. Anything short of that is not. But I mean, that's like just what I said, like the feelings that I felt whenever I have people tell me that they have gotten inspiration from me or something like that is way more special. Like I haven't won a championship, but that's a special feeling. It's different, but that's a really like special, and you can't really replace that. That's a good feeling. But yeah, I mean, it's hard because sometimes I think like, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to, but I'm still human too. And I think I don't want to, like, I want to keep doing this because I want to keep, like, I don't want to let people down if I don't do this. But so there, I don't know, there's so many different thoughts and stuff that go through your head. Like I'm kind of past that where I'm at in recovery right now. A couple weeks ago, I mean, it's just a train wreck in my, it's just so many different things going through my head of like, man, if I don't want to be done because I want to keep showing these people and these kids that you can overcome things and that this is just a bump in the road. But then mm-hmm. it's like, I need to do what's best for me, and it's not just about everybody else, and I don't know. So there's just a lot of stuff that goes through your head, and it's maybe just my head that goes through it, and injuries, but more specifically just this one, just because of how scary it was, yeah. You know, just because it was a scary looking one, and it like the past couple that I've had, I wasn't really fazed by any of that because it didn't, there wasn't, I mean, I guess there's always a possibility it could be worse, but this one is like, I had the best case scenario. If that exact crash happened 1,000 more times, then 999 of those times, I'm worse. Yeah. And it's the one time that I'm not worse. So it's like, is that kind of a sign that like, hey, you know, maybe it's time to just hang it up. Like, there's all of these thoughts that just go back and forth. And I'm, like I said, I'm kind of past that, but that's what every now and then I catch myself thinking about that stuff again. And that's what I was saying earlier, is you just got to turn it off and just go forward. Like, that's what, go to the gym. I'm doing stuff in the gym. Whenever I start thinking about that stuff too much, I have to do something. I have to go to the gym. I have to go on a run. I have to go do something, because if I just sit at home and just let those things take over, then I just get into it. I just start digging myself a hole. So it's tough, but I'm kind of past that. And I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot right now. Body's getting better. The body heals, the mind heals too. So, I mean, doing all right.
All right, so we're out of time, but just in closing, I had heard you're gonna race or try to come back for the last few Supercrosses, or is that, was that like another cuckoo thought?
Yeah. No, that, I mean, that would be nice. Everything feels good right now. My head's good. My lungs are good. My back, the only thing that hurts is in my back is certain twisting movements, but that'll be gone probably completely in a week, mm-hmm. in a week or so. The only thing that I still feel is my shoulder. And I had people tell me that shoulder blades heal quick. Like the people that have done them, they said, oh, mine healed quick. It doesn't hurt back in my shoulder blade anymore. It's literally just right out here. But the pain I'm starting to feel now is kind of more achy pain rather than like sharp pain. And when that starts to set in, that's when it's the achy pain, that kind of is usually like on your way out of it. Like, okay, you should be good in a couple weeks. It's itchy too, and itchy means it's healing too. So I'm thinking that I can probably start riding maybe in a couple weeks, but I just don't know. Cause like, this has been weird. Like some days I wake up and I'm like, dude, I can lift my hand over my head. Like it feels great. Then I wake up 2 days later and I'm like, oh man, like, I don't know if I roll over on it or what. It's this, my shoulder is just the most on and off thing that I've like, yeah. It's like, it'll feel good for 2 days, feel like shit for three. Then, oh, it feels good again. Oh, no. Oh, it's good. Like, it's so up and down. So if it's possible, if I can, and I'm good mentally, like I said, obviously you can't go out on a track having PTSD of something. You can't go out on a track when you're thinking about, you can't go out on, I wouldn't even want to practice thinking about that, but you can't go race, especially thinking about past trauma. So if I can get that out of my head to where I'm not, and as soon as I touch a track, it may be gone. I might not think about that stuff. So I just gotta get this better first off. But then if I can ride and there's no, you know, I'm clear mentally, then which working with Rhino, I'm sure he'll get me in a pretty good spot. He's usually good about mental stuff. Even I can come to the track not even wanting to ride, and after he's talking to me for like 5 minutes, I'm like, dude, I'm ready to put my head through a wall right now. I want to run through a brick wall. Like, he gets me fired up. So yeah. I'm sure that we can get my mental side cleared up. So if that's good, and as long as my shoulder's good, then yeah, I would like to, cause I'm just naturally a little bit better at supercross than I am outdoors. So yeah, I would like to definitely do more supercross, cause I've missed so much outdoors over the past few years. My arm, I lost all that muscle in my arm. I can't, holding on for 30 minutes is a lot for me. I'm just feel like I'm naturally just better at supercross now. So yeah, I would definitely like to do some more supercross racing before the year ends. So if it's possible, if my shoulder's good, I'm going to get an x-ray. I'm gonna go to G's tomorrow and get an x-ray and see what he says about it. And yeah, just kind of taking it a day at a time and seeing, but if it's possible, yeah, I'll be back out there.
So we're all very glad to see you in one piece. And toughest guy in motocross here, Austin Faulkner. Thanks for checking out the SML show, and we'll see you next week.